to open up with those two stories, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Open up about those two guys that told me they don't believe in God this week. And to tell you about the white lie that came about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so holy, you are so just, you're so merciful, and you're gracious. God, you know that you loved us. We know that you loved us because you sent your Son to die for us and died on a cross, a condemned man, even though he didn't do anything. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for sanctification and salvation. God, I just ask that you would be over this sermon today. God, I ask that I would be out of the way and that the Holy Spirit would just move. Let people have open hearts and open minds to receive your word. God, as we talk about spiritual warfare, Lord Jesus, I just pray that the Holy Spirit takes over and is in this place, because I know that there's going to be some battles raging as I talk about this. God, I just pray that people would be victorious in their thinking over spiritual warfare. Please, God, allow your word to move in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we've been going through the 40 days of prayer. The Alliance has finished it, actually. They're all done. They finished back a couple weeks ago. But they had a sermon series to go along with the 40 days of prayer, and they broke down Matthew 6 over several weeks. And they took one verse at each verse, and they broke it down. And I will reiterate here in just a few minutes. But I had Brother Fish read Matthew 6 to you guys, because I want you guys to start really meditating on Matthew 6. This is Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. And they asked him, they thought it important enough to say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the first week we looked at prayer as worship. And we went to, that was Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it is safe. We looked at the word hallowed, which means made holy, consecrated. Right? So, our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Right? We know that God is holy. We understand that our prayers to a holy and awesome God, and prayers as worship, he loves to hear. So we're worshiping God when we call him holy. You know, we are so guilty of praying for our own specific needs all the time. Lord, I am sick. Lord, my car is broken down. Lord, I can't pay my mortgage. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. Sometimes God wants to hear, God, you're so holy. You're so just. You're so merciful. Thank you for everything you do in my life. God wants to hear those too. We worship our God. Prayer, so that was the first week. The second week, prayer as kingdom partnership. We looked at Matthew 6:10, right? And that is, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we looked at Matthew 6:33, which is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. By the way, that is our youth group's life verse. That is our youth group verse. It's kingdom seekers, right? That's where the kingdom seekers comes from. We want our youth to be seeking the kingdom of God, right? Always. Matthew 6:33. And then I gave you a quote by Dallas Willard. You can't think correctly about life or the church without first thinking correctly about the kingdom. And I really camped on that for a long time. We have to be kingdom-minded always. We always have to be thinking about the kingdom of God. In one of my classes, one of my professors was like, remember Cog, kingdom of God, Cog, right? And if you remember the kingdom of God and everything you're doing, no matter if you're at work, you know, doesn't matter if you're a mechanic, doesn't matter if you're, you know, a carpenter or a cabinet maker or a lawn, you know, lawn care technician, or go to Chick-fil-A and make chicken sandwiches, or a pastor, your job is to be kingdom-minded always. Seek ye the kingdom of God first, and if you get that right, then you can start thinking about the other things. So I really like that quote, and I wanted to share that with you guys again. Prayer as petition, right? We looked at Matthew 6:11, and that says, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. We stated that we should make our requests known to God. He wants to hear our requests. There's nothing wrong with praying for healing. We believe that in the Alliance full well. We believe that as elders can come around somebody and anoint them with oil and pray for healing. Jesus is our healer. There is no lies about that. And I know personally, so many people have told me that they've experienced or seen healing on people that should not have been healed. Jesus is our healer. But what also, if I may, I'm gonna jump on this diving board just a minute. Jesus, our healer, by his stripes you are healed. Those stripes are talking about our sin. See, we are healed when we ask for forgiveness of our sin. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin, right? So there's both a physical healing and a spiritual healing that we talk about. So when somebody accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior and they commit their life to the kingdom and they get saved, they've been healed immediately in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. So I wanted to jump on that diving board for a second. Last week, we looked at prayer as confession. You know, and actually, I think, I can't remember in between which ones, but John gave an awesome message on the seven churches out of Revelation, and then Brother Fish, while I was gone, preached on discipleship. And both of those things tie into what we've been talking about in the Lord's Prayer, being kingdom-minded, right? Being seeking the kingdom of God and praying for the churches. So prayer is confession. We looked at that, and that was, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. That's Matthew 6:12. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You see, we have to talk about forgiveness. So many people have unforgiving hearts. They are not able to forgive those who have wronged them. And the Bible says that we have to forgive those people who wronged us, just as if we want Jesus to forgive us. If we cannot forgive, then we will not be forgiven. And that's what it says at the very end of the Lord's Prayer. Some people really wrestle with that, and I'm sorry that they do, because how do you forgive somebody who raped you? How do you forgive somebody who beat you to a pulp? How do you forgive somebody who killed one of your loved ones? I didn't say it would be easy. It's hard. Those are feelings. Those are valid feelings. But God says you have to forgive that person because Jesus forgave that person. Forgiveness is a true act of Christianity. So today, we're going to be looking at prayer or spiritual warfare, Matthew 6:13. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right? And we have evil on this planet because of Satan and his demons. We have evil on this planet because Satan and his demons. That's who we're really wrestling against. And we have to go and ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So my first point is we are liberated from Satan and sin. We are liberated from Satan and sin. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Start giving you guys a glimpse of what we're really dealing with spiritual warfare here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have a divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we are in the flesh, right? This is flesh. We're, you know, physical form. We're not waging war against this, but we're waging war against Satan and his demons. There's spiritual warfare. There's a lot there to chew on. I don't want to confuse anybody, but just know that, you know, as Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin, Satan is out there throwing darts at you, telling you that that's a lie. He doesn't want you to believe in God. He doesn't want you to believe that Jesus died on the cross. And oh, by the way, we'll get into this a little bit later, but Satan went against Jesus himself and tried to get Jesus to worship him. And we see how Jesus used Scripture to be victorious. We are liberated from Satan and sin because of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Go to 2 Chronicles 20:12. 2 Chronicles 20:12 says this. And this is how it can feel sometimes. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Sometimes it can feel like you're under a great stress, a great attack against the devil. And I'll give you a good example of what it feels like to be against a great horde of the enemy. I want you guys to imagine being in Iraq, and you're a soldier, and you only got five of your soldiers with you, and 20 enemy is surrounding you. That's a great horde of the enemy. You're surrounded by the enemy, right? 20 of them, and you got 5 people. That's kind of what Satan does. He looks for loopholes. He looks for the weak, right? And he attacks the weak. He attacks the vulnerable. And no, he does not. I used to think that Satan would be attacking the lost people, the ones who don't believe in God. But that's not the case at all. They're already lost. He's attacking us Christians, making our life miserable so that we can't be effective for the kingdom of God. That's spiritual warfare. So when you feel surrounded, you keep looking up to God, right? As Sister Helen would say, keep looking up, right? And she'd use her thumb, right? Keep looking up to God. That's what he's saying. We're going to look to you when the enemy is surrounding us and we feel like there's just no way out. By the way, our soldiers put a whooping on those 20 Iraqis that came and surrounded them. They got out of that firefight. It happened all the time over there. The enemy thought they would outsmart us and we'd figure it out. That's what the devil tries to do too. He tries to outsmart you. Well, he's only been around since the beginning of time. You know, God created him as an angel, Lucifer, and then he was cast out because he wanted to be greater than God. And then he came down and temptation immediately, he started tempting humankind in the Garden of Eden, right? He tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell into temptation. That's when spiritual warfare really started, right from the Garden of Eden. Because after they sinned, after they bit the fruit, they fell into that temptation. They immediately became separated from God. That's when spiritual death happened, right then and there. We have to look to the Lord always, even when it seems like the troubles of the enemies are more than we can handle. Point B, we know that the devil, our enemy, we know what the devil are that is our enemy. Go to 1 Peter 5:8. Here's another representation of this dude, Satan, the evil one, the trickster, the liar, the deceiver. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone to devour. But check this out. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we can fight against this enemy by being strong in our faith. Remember, I said the devil looks for the weak ones. He looks for the ones who are not really, they say they're a Christian, but they don't practice. You know, they say they're a Christian, but they don't read their Bible at all. They say they're a Christian, they don't go to church at all. They say they're a Christian and don't do anything. They're weak in their faith. Those are the ones that he's going to attack. But he's also going to attack the strong ones to try to get us to falter too. You see, I thought it very appropriate to share about the two guys that told me that they didn't believe in God this week. And how did he attack me? You can't even defend the word of God correctly, right? Which is not the case at all. He will attack, and he will lie, and he will steal, and he'll, you know what he's stealing? He's stealing your joy. He's stealing your happiness in the Lord. He doesn't want you to be joyous in the Lord. He doesn't want you to have any kind of fruit in your life. Spiritual warfare, it's all around us. The enemy wants to take us out by shooting fiery darts at us. But Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:16 what to use when it happens. How many of you have ever heard of the armor of God? Yeah, right? What happens in a war if a soldier forgets his armor, his gear? He's exposed, or she's exposed to the enemy, right? So I'm out there on the battle line, on the front line, and I don't have my helmet. Guess what they're aiming for? Yeah, exactly, right? So in spiritual warfare, we have this thing called the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and that one makes a whole lot of sense to me because I was a soldier and I was in Iraq, and I understand that without my weapon or without my armor, I was exposed to the enemy, right? I'm not going to read the whole thing, But I encourage you to go back and read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and it talks about the full armor of God there. But 6:16 says, In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Your shield of faith, right? In 1 Peter 5:8, it said, be strong in the faith against the one who seeks you like a lion to devour you. Strong in the faith. Take up the shield of faith and devour or extinguish the darts of the evil one. Extinguish the lies that he tells you. You're no good. He tells you, you can't do this. Go ahead and be depressed. Go ahead and be anxious. Go ahead and do that, because he would rather you focus on those things. But the Bible says we're to put off and put on. We are to put off those lies and put on Christ, right? We talk about this at Brianna's Hope, trying to get people to put off and put on. You put off those evil things, you put off those lies, you put off sin, and you put on Christ. You got to replace it, right? Do not fall subject to the evil one. Do not let Satan tell you that you're no good. Do not fall into that trap. That's spiritual warfare. Because if he can entrap you, then he will berate you, he will beat you to a pulp on that lie. He will tell you you're no good. And that's just not the case at all. And when I talk about good, I'm not talking about righteous. He'll make you feel like you cannot be in the kingdom of God. That's what I mean. So take up that shield of faith and extinguish the darts. We can always ask God for help in any situation that we are facing, be it good or bad. God wants to hear our requests, and if we are facing temptations, we can pray for deliverance. We could pray for deliverance. That's what they were saying in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to keep looking up to the Lord, even though this horde of the enemy is coming against me. I want you guys to remember this. Remember that each day God permits you life on earth, you are engaged in spiritual warfare. This is not simply a descriptive statement, but rather a prescriptive statement, meaning truth we must act on. Truth we must act on. Truth we must act on. So we can act on praying for deliverance. And my second point is, let us ask for deliverance. We are delivered from this. Satan, who is a masterful strategist, seeks our downfall by his various schemes. Here are some ways he ties us down through our failures, our disappointments, our hurts, depression, worry, fear, grief, anger, conflicts, and broken relationships designed to defeat God's people. Again, Ephesians 4:22 through 24 says, we are to put off those feelings of anger and depression, anxiety, and fear, and we are to put on the love of Christ. We are to put on the love of Christ. We are delivered from those very things that the devil keeps throwing. You know, it was really funny. My wife sent a video to one of my kids this week on YouTube, and it was a puppet. It was a little green puppet. It kind of looked like Hermit the Frog, but he had red hair, so it looked like he, like, stuck his hand in a sock, and it, like, you know, his hair was everywhere. But he was talking about you know, temptation and how his mom, now it's a puppet, all right, so deal with it. But his mom makes cookies, right? And she made, like, I don't know, 2 dozen cookies or something. And he went up to his mom. He really loves cookies, he said. I really love cookies, and I really got to have those cookies. I can't stop thinking about those cookies. They smell so good. They taste so good. Oh, I want to just eat one, he said. So he went up to his mom, and he said, Mom, can I have some cookies? No, not right now. They're too hot. You'll burn your mouth. So he had to wait. So he waited and waited until they cooled down, and then he went up to his mom and he said, "Mom, can I have some cookies now?" "You can have two." "All right, you can have two cookies." "Oh, thanks, Mom." So he ate his two cookies and, you know, like a puppet, rah, 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 you know, real funny. And then he went about his business and, you know, he kept thinking about those cookies. Well, his mom has this cookie jar that looks like a cow. And he said the cookie jar was mooing to him because he knew there was cookies in there, right? And he wanted to go, and he was like, "Oh, I know that I shouldn't have any more cookies because my mom said my stomach will hurt and I will ruin my appetite for dinner. So she said I could have more cookies after dinner," right? So here he is. He's trying to figure out, you know, he's fighting against himself and he doesn't want to go get the cookies. And then he's like, "Well, I'm going to go get some cookies." So then he tries to go and he tries to reach the cookie jar and it doesn't work. He can't get to it. So he devises this great plan on how to get to the cookies. He took a bow and arrow, and he took a arrow that had a suction cup to it, not a pointy end, but a suction cup. And he shot the arrow, and he first try, he said, "I became an archer, an archer champion. I hit that cow, and it went moo as I hit it with the suction cup." And he said he pulled the cookie jar down, and he broke the cow. It mooed all over the ground, he said. And all the cookies were everywhere. So now what'd he do? Oh boy, there was a lot of cookies, and he couldn't put the cookie jar back together. So he had to eat all the cookies. He ate every single last one of those cookies, and then he went to bed because he was feeling sick, right? And he was feeling sick, and so his mom comes. Again, this is a puppet, but his friends come, and they want him to go play soccer because he loves soccer. Right, and he's like his mom's like, "Hey, why don't you go out and play with your friends and play soccer?" And he's like, "I don't feel like playing soccer today." And she's like, "Oh, why not? You love soccer. You're really good at soccer. You're like one of the best soccer players there is." And he was like, "I don't want to play." And then he said, "Mom, I got into the cookie jar. I broke the cookies and I ate them all, and now my tummy hurts. You know, and." He said that not only did his stomach hurt, but then he couldn't go play out with his friends, and the cookie jar was broken. So where is his mom going to put all the cookies that she made from now on? That is how we can look at sin. Sometimes temptation can overtake us, right? The devil will continue to tell you to eat the cookies when you shouldn't. Now, for my kid, it was for a different reason. It wasn't cookies, but he got the point. I share that with you guys because that's how the devil works. And we can be delivered from that temptation. It was a good representation of how sin works in your life. So let us ask for deliverance. By asking God to deliver us from evil, we acknowledge we are helpless. By ourselves to follow Jesus on a path of righteousness that he modeled for us. So how can we be delivered from evil? Consider Jesus' mode of response when he attacked in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. I will not read this to you, but write down Matthew 4, 1 through 11. This is when he was being tempted by Satan, right? This is after he has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Jesus was led and filled by the Spirit. What does the Bible say about us when we become Christ followers? We are what? We are filled with the Spirit, right? The Spirit comes and indwells in us as a Christ follower. He leads us. He guides us. That's who Jesus, that the helper that Jesus promised in Acts 1:8 when he went up to heaven, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. He was led and filled with the Spirit. Number two, Jesus was committed to fasting and prayer. Jesus was committed to fasting and prayer. We know that he fasted and prayed all the time. He would get away to pray. He modeled that for us. So we know that if Jesus fasted and prayed, then we must also fast and pray. to be ready at all times for this spiritual warfare to take place. It will happen at a drop of a hat. When he was again tempted at the Garden of Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, 36 through 46, after instructing his disciples to watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation, he went up to engage in fervent prayer. He prayed so hard at that garden that he sweat blood. You know, he was asking that the Father would take that cup of, you know, he was feeling, let me go there, because it says exactly how he was feeling. This is Matthew 26, okay? Matthew 26, 36 through 46. And I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. He began to feel sorrowful and troubled. Jesus began to feel sorrowful and troubled over what was getting ready to take place. He was getting ready to die on the cross, and he was feeling sorrowful and troubled. And so he went away to pray. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. He was telling his disciples to watch with them, with him, and to be praying. And what happens? They fell asleep. Jesus went back and they were sleeping. And he said, you couldn't even pray with me for 1 hour? Jesus felt every feeling that we feel. Jesus experienced the feeling of sorrowful, being sorrowful. But he did not sin. He was perfect. He was the Son of God. And he was getting ready to lay himself on a cross. And he knew it. And this is something I'm going to preach on Easter, I think. But Jesus ministered 5 times during the time he was dying on the cross. He ministered to 5 different people. Can you imagine, Brother Fish, laying on a cross with nails in your hands and your feet, and you're ministering to somebody? Can you imagine? They're watching you die, and you got 5 people that you ministered to on the cross. Can you imagine? One of them was his mother. His mother was there at the foot of the cross watching him die. So he could be the Savior of the world. So he could help us be delivered from Satan and his demons. I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine even going through the 39 lashings that he got. I would die right then. I wouldn't even make it to the cross. It's not about me, but I couldn't imagine the torment that Jesus went through before he even got to the cross. I mean, they mocked him, they spit on him, they pulled his beard out, they pulled his hair, they put a crown of thorns on him, they took a staff, and they hit him over the head. They were hitting God over the head. And Jesus had the authority to wipe out all of those Roman soldiers with a blink of an eye. But yet he didn't. He took our punishment. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are delivered from Satan. Jesus replied to Satan with Scripture. Jesus relied on Scripture for his ready defense. Jesus resisted the devil's temptations with the help of accurate knowledge of Scripture, which was a powerful weapon to resist the devil's temptations. You see, when we go through Bible study on Wednesday nights and we come here on Sunday and we go through Scripture, I am praying that it's an accurate portrayal of Scripture to give you guys a toolbox to go out into Dark County, Greenville, Ansonia, Bradford, wherever, and have the right tool for the right time to be able to accurately use Scripture to defeat the devil. Do you see, those 2 guys that told me they don't believe in God, that wasn't them that I was fighting. It was Satan. It was Satan that I was fighting against. We can pray for our deliverance from evil Our deliverance from evil is assured by our intimate relationship with Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The only way we're going to be strong in our faith is by knowing Scripture. And that's why I started off this week the challenge to go out and listen to worship music and then pray and then read your Bible and see what kind of a difference that makes. To conclude, every day you can find yourself confronted with all kinds of temptations, trials, or tests. The devil is the master of them all. But Jesus is here directing you to place your trust in God's hands so that he will guide you away from temptation and those things that will seek to trip you up. J.I. Packer wrote this: whenever God tests us for our good, Satan, the tempter, tries to exploit the situation for our ruin. You see, James 1 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when trials and temptations come your way." Why should we count it a joy? Because then you know that you're going to be going through a trial of refining your faith, right? We are always being purified. We have never arrived. The moment you become a Christ follower, you start being remolded. Like, you know, I love he is the potter, I am the clay, right? He never stops molding or making us. He always is shaping this pot, right? Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when trials and temptations come your way. Praying, deliver us from evil, is a recognition of our own limited abilities and meaning of asking for God to step in and help us. The Son has granted us victory. We will then find ourselves victorious in him as we live in him and follow him. That's the good news. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Questions to ask yourself. In what area of your life is the enemy wearing you down so that you're less than victorious? In what areas of your life do you feel most vulnerable to the enemy's attack? And when temptation comes your way, how can the weapons found in Ephesians 6:11-17 help you fight through your battles and make a ready defense? Maybe you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus. Jesus is our Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming King. Jesus is our Savior, Acts 4:12, and there is no salvation. There is no salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven in which given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only name under heaven which we could be saved. Jesus is our only hope. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." There it is, that word again, faith, right? You lift up the shield of faith, you extinguish the darts. You have strong faith, you will not be devoured by the lion, right? Through faith, you're saved, and it is not of your own doing. You cannot save yourself. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, right? We humble ourselves, and we say, "God, I need to be saved from my sin. I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior, and I need to be sanctified. I need to be healed, and I know that he's coming back someday, and I want to be ready." You see, the word "watch" in some of the scripture means watch for the end of times, because we don't know when it's going to happen. We have to be ready in and out of season. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please do not walk out these doors today and not accept him as your Lord and Savior. We have plenty of people here who could help you accept Christ, walk you through that. And then here's a challenge. I want you to meditate on Scripture. Consider his truth and his righteousness. His armor brings the victory today. Put it on, Christian. Put it on. Put on the full armor of God and do battle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are so awesome. Lord God, you equipped every saint, every believer with a toolbox ready to do battle at every time we turn around. The Scripture is what we use. It's our sword. Lord God, will you help us to wield it correctly? Will you help us to put on the full armor of you correctly? so that when we are in battle with the enemy, we'll be victorious. Lord Jesus, I just pray that if anybody has heard something today that they're wrestling with, Lord God, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide them through that wrestling. Lord God, we ask that if anybody is struggling with anxiety and depression and discouragement, Lord, that they would put those off and they would put on the love of Christ. If anybody here is struggling with faith, Lord God, I ask that they would renew their faith here, that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe some people are here and don't know you personally as their Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct them to you. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you so much for the washing of our sins through your sacrifice, through the blood of you, Lord. And it's only through your name that people get saved. There is no other name among men by which we can be saved. Thank you so much for that truth. Thank you so much for this congregation. Lord God, I just ask that we can go out as a congregation into this world this week, and we can witness and be kingdom-minded, kingdom seekers always. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We have one more worship song.
Look for